Jake.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers. Steve.
Suck so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 26. With me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Okay. That's
creepy.
Steve Morgan.
That's my name, don't wear it out.
And Charles Caldwell.
The heart of a child in a mother's care.
What is that from?
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Good old Meak.
God.
That movie's scary, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was petrified.
Those fucking creepy little troll things that come out of everywhere.
They're so awkward.
Yeah. And Eartha Kitt plays the crazy witch woman.
Ah, different child.
So good.
Give me the child. Give me the child.
Give me the child. So this is episode 26, and that officially marks our 6 month anniversary of
dang.
Yeah, 6 months.
That's crazy.
Every week we've done really well at actually staying on track and releasing one every week. So I'm
pound it out.
A virtual fist bump there.
Mm-hmm. Virtual fist bump indeed.
Yes, not that and nothing else.
What else would there be?
Yeah.
I don't know, you could be pounding out a lamb chop or something, I don't know.
Tenderizing meat.
Mm-hmm.
I picture Charles like tenderizing meat with like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Gotta get Living. It real thin.
It's like a sack of kittens.
Terrible. So anyways, getting right into the news this week. We have released today is Thief, the remake, or not really remake, but kind of re-release of the game.
Did anyone pre-order this?
I have it, it's coming tomorrow, so I'll have something to say about it in the next week or two, depending on where I am.
I don't think I ever played the previous version to this one, so I'm curious to hear about it.
They're hard.
Yeah, yeah. They're really hard.
The old school, I don't remember which one it was I played, but I remember playing, I think it was on PC, and it was like,
yeah,
it was painful to play. It was just like, oh, I don't want to play this anymore. I've died so many times, I just don't want to do this.
I don't think I beat, like, the first, like, 20 minutes of the game. I played Thief 1 and 2, and I just couldn't do anything. Like, I mean, it might have been because I was younger at the time, but I just was,
yeah.
It's tough, man. It was really tough.
Yeah. You just had to, shoot out torches, and, like, you had to, like, really know what you were trying to do.
And you had very,
just,
like
really difficult.
Didn't you have, like, very limited supplies, too? Like, you only had a couple?
Yeah.
If you're real, it's like, it was almost like Hitman on crack. Like, if you screwed anything up, like, it was just over. Like, you were done. You had to, like, knock people out and drag their bodies.
Yeah. So. It seems intense and
exciting.
It's gotten, it's gotten kind of middling reviews so far. And people have cited a couple issues with it, but, I'm gonna play it, and I'll let people know.
Cool.
It seems to me like it's another case of a game that was like so popular, or like it had such a following back in the day that like any new remake will never live up to the original.
Right, right, exactly. But yeah, we'll see. It comes tomorrow, according to my Best Buy shipping tracking thing.
Do, do, do.
In other big news, probably the biggest news, I think, this week, Irrational Games is closing, and Ken Levine is going to be starting another smaller studio, developer studio, which is kind of...
So he can focus on the story, which I don't understand how he can get any more depth into the story. Is it just going to be a storybook on your computer screen?
Do you want to explain what games are Irrational Games is released?
Just in case people don't know. The BioShock series. Irrational Games also did System Shock 2 and... Yep. What's the other one that they did? There was at least two more.
Yeah.
I forget the other two, but... yeah, Ken Levine was, like, the creative director behind the... BioShock 1 and BioShock Infinite, and
they did Freedom Force. And
that's
are
it.
One of them, and SWAT 4, Tribes Vengeance.
Okay, I knew there were some other ones in there.
Yeah.
But Ken Levine, I mean, he's been like basically the creative mastermind behind the BioShock series, and he's leaving with only 15 people from a studio that consisted of like I think over 100. So that's a pretty big blow to the people that work there, the employees.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard, I think a lot of studios are really rallying behind them and kind of getting them placed in other positions that are needed at their other companies. But Charles, I think you had mentioned right off the bat was
the whole purpose behind him doing this is so that they could have a smaller studio to focus on in-depth storytelling. And honestly, I've been racking my brain on exactly what this would look like. Maybe recreating or getting some of the essence that they got with BioShock in that storyline. But when I think of like more in-depth storyline, it just comes down to like, what is it just going to be, a movie? As a game, like, just going through, it just seems very strange to me that they would break off like this.
Well, I think it sounds to me like, from what I've read, Irrational was originally founded by three people, and the other two left, and Ken was the last of the original founders. So, you know, I think it's kind of like a story we've seen before in any business, you know, where the original guys are there, and then they kind of grows, and it's not as fun as it used to be.
Right.
And I think for him, it's the kind of thing where he just wants to go back to his roots, and I think that's probably good for him. And I mean, good for, you know, it sucks to see a studio go down like that, but it's good for, in the end, I think it'd be good for gamers too, because, you know, it gives him a chance to take a little bit more risks, I think, than he'd be able to at Irrational.
Yeah, at least it's refreshing that they didn't just go out of business. They're closing their doors, but it's not like they went bankrupt or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the thing that comes to mind when I think of other areas of like a really in-depth storyline is basically anything from Telltale games, and I could see Ken Levine doing like episodic, some sort of episodic games where the storyline is like the focus each episode, and it's kind of less focused on the
game mechanics,
right? The game mechanics of it, and I don't know if it, Telltale has their own kind of stylistic. Way of doing it, but I could see him making really in-depth worlds and having episodes that come out that are really in-depth with like on like specific characters and being more of like a seasonality sort of thing. But
yep, I can see that. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. It's just depending on how it all goes, whether or not... it's just like when you take any risk, it could just be awesome or it could be, like, completely wacky.
Right.
So, it's interesting. It's really... Either way, it's pretty crazy.
It is.
I think Ken Levine was also at some point tapped to write a screenplay for a movie. You know, I'm not sure what movie it was, but something, you know, in the works. I mean, he's not, I don't think this is his only venture, you know, he's got his hands on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is just going to give him a chance to kind of explore different avenues and try something new.
It's exciting.
I think he's writing, like,
it'd be hilarious if he was doing something completely different than what we would ever expect from him.
I remember what it was. He's like, I remember seeing it.
Writing a sequel to some terrible comedy movie by the Wayans brothers. That'd be awful.
Oh, Logan's Run remake. I don't think I've ever saw the original. I think it's from like the 70s.
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous. I've seen that movie before.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, it's the one where they kill people when they turn 30. They vaporize them.
Run, Logan, run!
But I mean, I think that just kind of shows, like, the fact that Ken Levine is writing a screenplay for a movie, like, he bridges lots of different fields, and, you know. Yeah, so I don't think anyone feels bad for him for leaving. I think, if anything, people are excited to see what comes next.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely. Before I go and say anything else, the Whistleblower DLC is for Outlast is coming out in April. No specific release date, but I saw that on, I saw it on Twitter or something today. So I thought I would throw that out there for everybody that might be interested.
Cool.
Download that.
Speaking of downloads, Xbox had an issue with their digital copies of Titanfall. As I guess it was available for preload on.
They announced that it was going to be available right. for preload, but on Xbox One. But then. In further realizing what they had said, they retracted and said, no, actually, it's not going to be available on Xbox One, just as a preload on PC, because we need to consider the box stores and our physical distributors. We don't want to give them any disadvantage. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have all this extremely powerful technical device that can obviously do the preload, right. But because the distribution, oh, you don't want to make people angry, oh, no.
So what is it? It's like you could download it if you wanted to, but they said that you
yeah,
can't.
Well, if you purchase it now, then you would be able to start installing it at midnight of the release date, or 12:01 a.m. the release date. But what they were originally right. were saying was the game would be installed and you could start playing at 12:01 a.m. And
yeah.
That I think made a lot of people real upset because they were like, sweet, I'm going to start playing at 12:01. I don't...
Yeah, that's weird, though, because if you've already purchased it, like, digitally, what's the difference?
Right, and, exactly.
Like, I guess there's an advantage to playing at 12, whereas, like, if you get the box, you have to be there at 12, and then you don't get to play until you install it or get it back home or something.
Either that or they just don't have it. I mean, they just don't have the architecture set up, like, you know, strapped down for the Xbox One. So then they could be afraid that, oh, you know, someone's going to preload it and then it'll start working before it's supposed to.
I hope they're ready for their networking stress test at 12:01. Yeah. It's going to be like, I got the game at 12:01. I had to download it at like 10 kilobytes a second, so it'll be done like tomorrow since everybody's.
And then the network's
going to
be down, so no one's actually going to be able to play against each other.
Yep. That sucks. That sounds just miserable.
Running around in mechs, jumping through the air, running through walls.
It's interesting, though, that they've like publicly like recognize the fact that they are like aware of their distributors, though. I mean, that's something we always speculate, like, oh, do like they really care if, you know, PC sales or game sales like actually have box sales versus digital downloads? But clearly, like, it's a lot of political.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like that's probably the driving force behind this, is that if they didn't do that, then everyone would just download it.
Yeah.
But they kind of have to like give them some. I mean, even still, I feel like there's hardly any incentive to buy the physical disc other than to be able to sell it later.
Yeah.
I think most people just download it.
Yeah, I know. I remember I did this with, I think the last game I bought physically for like PC was like StarCraft 2 or something. And I remember going, and I was like really excited, you know, because it was like I really wanted to have that like midnight release feel again. And we like went and got it, and we came back, and we were like, "Wow, this was stupid." Because the second we installed it, we just threw it away, and then I had the code, so then I could just download it anytime I wanted. So it was just so like it was just like I remember getting back at like 12:45, and then we're like, all these people that just bought it online have been playing for 45 minutes. This sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really odd. I don't even know why that exists anymore, especially with consoles being able to download like that and stuff. So.
I can kind of see that for, like, like major releases like that. This, I guess there's kind of like a brotherhood when you go and wait in line for 2 hours. You actually meet people, and maybe in, like, a big city, but when you're in Hicksville, New Hampshire, and it's like you and two other people, and they both smell horrible. It's like,
so true. That's so true. Yeah, it's a much different experience, I think, but it's just interesting how that like that feel, you know, of like it's almost like Christmas morning when something comes out, and that anticipation of like going and picking it up and like, you know, like dedicating that time. It just, you don't have that anymore with downloads. I mean, you were kind of talking about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's
true. Instead, you just sit there, like, checking, see how much is downloaded in the last 10 seconds. What's the download rate now? Is it 6 megabytes? Yes. Is it 4? What is it?
except all games are online now, and all of them are, like you said, where you download them at midnight. Or even if they're not, they're online, so all the servers are crashed. Like, every, like, Blizzard game that's come out, like, I remember Diablo 3 came out, and I was, like, up at 3 a.m., you know, 12 o'clock on Pacific, like, on the Pacific Coast, and I'm just sitting here, like, hitting, like, login, error, to, like, 4 a.m., and then I'm just like, ah, fuck, I go to bed. So it's completely terrible, but, yeah.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I don't know, I hope the whole digital thing starts, like, I mean, they're gonna have to start making it a little easier on consoles.
Yeah.
'Cause,
and they need to compensate for those facts that they know that, like, a lot of people are gonna be coming on, and, like, what, like, they need to be aware of that stuff. It's just, I'm sure it's not economically efficient for them to be able to serve every single person that's ever going to play the game on one moment versus, like, the lifetime of the game. But, I mean, they need to figure out a way to get around those types of things, and they will, I'm sure, eventually. If all their games are coming out like that, after a while, you know, they can't, like, have these issues every time a game comes out. Otherwise, people are going to
be
pissed. So, I'm sure it'll work itself out eventually.
Ideally.
I mean, it's still new to everybody, so.
Yeah, definitely new to consoles.
Yeah.
I think we should talk a little bit about this analyst's comments. Who, Charles? Did you put the analyst this guy's comments on Microsoft on here? Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
This analyst at Forbes posted, it's basically his blog, so he posted an article on his opinion that Microsoft should sell off their development status to Nintendo because neither Nintendo or Microsoft is being very successful in profitability when it compares to Sony, and that Microsoft should focus on what it does best, which is like obviously this the Windows operating system, and give up its developer, like sell it off to Nintendo. I just thought it was an interesting concept. I don't think, I mean, we've talked a little bit about it before, where we've talked about how Microsoft, how its business model works, where it obviously produces the consoles at a loss and then it expects to make up everything in digital sales and everything like that. But it just, it struck me.
Yeah, it would, I mean, I think I just thought about it, and it seems like, I don't think it'll ever happen, but the two console or the two businesses together, the Xbox has an excellent online infrastructure, which the Wii, like the Nintendo consoles do not, and then Nintendo has a lot better first party. I mean, has a lot greater interest in first party games than Microsoft does. I mean, Microsoft definitely has some good first. I mean, the two, if they ever combined, it would be like game over for Sony.
I mean, I think in like a, you know, some alternate universe, that's probably true. But I think in reality, this guy is just like some, you know, your typical Wall Street guy thinking the sky's falling because they weren't profitable, you know. But in reality, I think Microsoft has a much bigger plan when it comes to where they want to be as a company. And Xbox, you know, Microsoft is, their goal is to be on every digital surface that you own, you know, everything, every device that has a screen, Microsoft wants to be on it and in it and involved in it somehow. So to say that they should spin off Xbox because it hasn't earned them money is like, that's not their goal. And I can, you know,
right.
We can dream for a day when there's the Nintendo Xbox, but I don't think that'll ever happen. Because it just, it does not coincide with Nintendo's, like, design principles or their, you know, anything they do. That's really not who they are.
I honestly think it's more likely to go the other way, where there's Nintendo games on an Xbox than for there to be Xbox games on Nintendo.
Well, I feel like the user base is also entirely different. Like, the type of people that Xbox kind of, you know, that they're
Halo
the,
kids
that they're,
it's different than Nintendo crowd,
right? Well, I just feel like I feel like it's a completely different demographic.
Yeah,
but maybe that's why it would be a mega conglomerate.
It would appeal to everyone.
Your mom's a mega conglomerate.
She might be.
It was more of appealing to everybody. That was the joke. But sure.
Well, that is actually true.
Burn. You got burned. You got served.
Yo mama. Speaking of consoles and console wars. Tim, do you want to take this? Do you want to just talk about this?
Yeah. I've never read it, but apparently there's a book called Console Wars. It's about like during the 90s, kind of the war between Nintendo. Nintendo was kind of like the king of consoles at that point. And Sega kind of grew up out of nowhere and came out with the Genesis and stuff in it. And they were kind of like a small group of guys who took on this huge gaming empire, and so it's just kind of like a book that chronicles their what happened in that period of time. But apparently they're making a movie out of it, and it's going to be, I think it's being produced by the same guy who did The Social Network, and he also did, I forget what the other movie was that he did, but it was another, or Moneyball, I'm sorry. Yeah. So two good movies, you know, Oscar nominated movies. And it's going to be directed by... This is the weird part. It's going to be directed by Seth Rogen, which
that's
is
bizarre.
Really strange.
So it's going to take a turn for, like, weed smoking. And
so it's going to star James Franco. Yeah. And
there will be copious amounts of marijuana smoking. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. No, yeah, it seems interesting.
It's also probably going to be extremely stereotypical of Nintendo.
I mean, I think the whole idea is really cool. I'd like to read the book sometime, but I think it would be a great. I think a movie would be really interesting.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I saw The Social Network and Moneyball, I was like, "Oh man, it's gonna be good." But I mean, I don't know. We'll say, you never know what will happen. But it sounds like a really interesting time in gaming. It's kind of something that, at least for myself, and I think for most of us, we're all kind of growing up, so we never really, we just didn't care what happened. We just wanted to see the games, you know, and play the games.
Yeah, you're just pissed when it didn't come out sooner.
Yeah, right. Sort of, you know, oh, this one has Sonic on it, you know, or whatever. But to kind of know the whole backstory of how everything happened and what was going on behind the scenes, I think will be really interesting.
Yeah, I think it sounds awesome. I'm pretty excited for it, especially if it's going to be directed, by that guy who did those other movies. I mean, I'm sure it'll be really well done.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's awesome.
And it won't be the Donkey Kong documentary.
Donkey Kong.
King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Best documentary of all time.
I need to see that still.
Steve Wiebe! Chumpetizing. It's a great movie, man. You gotta see it.
Alright.
We'll screen it for PAX.
I'll do that. There we go. That'll be excellent. Speaking of movies about video games and other media, Steve's going to take our segment this week.
Sure. So the weekly segment this week is kind of a topic I was thinking about, and I guess we'll just get some of your guys' thoughts, but basically the role of commercialization in gaming and the lack of increase or increase, I guess, depending on how you look at it, in commercials and other different media types that gaming has kind of pushed itself out into. And by that, I guess what I'm trying to say is gaming is obviously becoming really, really prevalent with the increase of like smartphones and other things like that. Like most everyone has got some type of gaming console or something like that now. But in some situations, I think you don't see more advertising than what we did when we used to see back with like Nintendo and like Pokemon and all these other things that we used to see when we were kids. So I guess the question is, maybe why is that, and what do you guys think about like the role of gaming in advertising as we see it like now?
I mean, I think that there's two different ways of looking at it. Like, this kind of like advertising that infiltrates games and gaming used as a tool for advertising, if that makes sense. You know, kind of like instances. I think at one point we had kind of talked about the possibility of having like a team Mountain Dew or a team Pepsi, team Coke, you know. I think that's like an example of advertising infiltrating games. And I think on the other side is where you see like game characters on products like
Mountain Dew is like the most prevalent for me. It's like Mountain Dew has been branded as a gaming drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Doritos.
They always have Halo, you know, Call of Duty trading points if you drink your Mountain Dews, you know. So I mean, I think those two different things are kind of, I don't know which one's worse. I guess maybe gaming invading. I mean, advertising invading games is a little scarier, but I mean, I don't know.
Are there any other products like that are just so prevalent? I guess Doritos a little bit, but
it's not like you find it on like fresh cut carrots or anything like that.
Maybe Hot Pockets.
But it is like chicken fingers. It is actually really surprising. It is actually really surprising now, and I know we've already kind of talked about this before with what you said about the advertising, but it's really surprising that advertising isn't in games. Like, I mean, I feel like especially really top tier AAA titles that they know a lot of people are going to play, you would think that like they'd have like Master Chief like drinking a Mountain Dew. I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot of money.
Product placement doesn't. I mean, you see product placement every day in movies and like television shows, and it just hasn't hit gaming yet. And I know that we have talked about like how it could like help to pay for game like for industry to actually create games, but
it's funny because in games there's advertising, but it's most often than not it's fake advertising. So it's just this like
Grand Theft Auto is probably the best at that. Their iPair product and all that crazy thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And
I think it's a good thing. We should all be thankful that it hasn't become like ubiquitous. That'd be horrible. I don't think anyone wants that. But at the same time, you know, and I think we talked about like if the game was free and just had to deal with ads, you know, it's, I think some people would be open to that. It would open, at least for developers, it would, you know, it means more people would probably play your game. Since there's no like entry cost.
I'm sure it'll eventually be like that, and we'll still have to pay. It'll be like watching football. You still have to pay cable, but you still get commercials, and you got to watch them. Like 90% of the game is commercials, as if it's not like a multi-billion-dollar industry. Like I don't think the commercials are like necessary. So it's I'm sure it'll come around like as gaming increases and becomes more popular. But I don't know.
And we've already seen the elimination of gaming magazines pretty much like.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, too. There's
no point when everything's online. The internet
basically. Yeah, the internet's completely killed it. And now that, I mean, like, IGN and GameSpot and a couple of the other, you know, gaming sites, I've noticed a huge increase in advertising just on those sites for gaming.
Really on any site where there's any sort of game, like Addicting Games, like all of those sites. And then there's also advertisements for games that just pop up, like, I don't want to call them real games, but it's like all those like web-based MMOs where it's like, join now and scanty clad boob elf will come and do something, I don't know. You see them everywhere.
I don't know that this might be a little off topic, but I think that like even those sites, even like IGN and GameSpot and you know like Joystick places like that, they're like even they are less than what they used to be. There's kind of like a spike with you know as paper gaming distribution died, but even now they're less. I feel like there's more of a shift towards like social interaction, you know, things like Twitter and Facebook and Steam. People are more likely to talk to other gamers about games than they are to rely on like, you know, industry interviews. And I think that's just a product of the internet and people in general and, you know, social networking.
Yeah, Reddit is way more prevalent than IGN.
I've noticed the advertising on like IGN now has you'll be reading an article about how the PlayStation 4 has done whatever, that they're, you know, they're selling all these copies of things, and then in the middle of the article will be an advertisement, and it says clearly advertisement that it's you know, there's an advertisement for Xbox One and you know, Titanfall or something like else, some other Xbox property. And it's just like, what? And I don't think they have control over where those advertisements actually go, but...
Well, they probably do. Microsoft probably put that...
Put all our advertisements on PlayStation 4-related articles. I think also another thing that I was... I mean, and I like... I think another thing is based on what Charles said, which was like, these kind of corny games, and this is like kind of what drove me to this topic when I originally thought about it, is that I noticed like, I mean, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One definitely have commercials on television, and Wii U has like a couple, and PC is basically non-existent unless you're talking about something like World of Warcraft. But this is the thing that got me, is games that are free to play and like phone-based games, like Farmville style games that have pay to like play sort of increased time-based things, like Clash of Clans and some of these other games are all over the television, and personally it's like deeply disturbing because I like realize that these games are making a lot of money. Like they're making enough money to be able to put commercials on like major television channels. and yet, like, a game that you really like for PlayStation or PS or, like, or even PC, I mean, doesn't have enough money to, like, or doesn't think it's worth advertising, like, on television, but, like, Clash of Clans does. So maybe it's, maybe it's not just, like, money, but maybe it's, like, also audience, because I know, like, people are more casual that watch television, but, and they're not going to go to, like, IGN or something and get, like, it there, but I don't know. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, oh, God.
I know that...
Yeah, the Clash of Clans commercial's hilarious.
There's one company that makes, like, a bunch of games that sound exactly the same, but they it looks like, I mean, it looks like Bejeweled, but it's like, I don't know, it's like five different like games. They're like the king of something, or like Panda something, or but they're all exactly the same game. And I don't know what channel I watch that those things come on all the time, but
yeah, I mean, I think that as game depth or game complexity increases, you know, the audience size decreases just naturally. And I think it's a sad state of affairs that I mean, you know, in one way, I think, all right, it's good. There's more people gaming, and, you know, I guess it kind of slightly legitimizes gaming, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to be alive where Candy Crush Saga is considered gaming. No. Like, we're seriously, people, if you play Candy Crush Saga and you call yourself a gamer, then I'm just going to jump off a bridge now.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like more fun.
And there's a lot of people that probably would say that. Like, you'd be like, what did you do all day? They're like, I played video games. Which one? Candy Crush Saga. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get out.
It's like a mind teaser, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, we played video games all day. What'd you do? I did
Sudoku. Okay. Basically. On my computer, so well, it's like, you know.
Well, this is, I mean, honestly, like, I keep talking about how my mom likes playing games now, and, like, the number of times she's invited me to play, like, Bejeweled on Facebook is starting to get just obnoxious. Oh, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to play that.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is the target audience is, like, much older people. I mean, this is, like, my parents are always, they're all up on that pogo.com, like... And it's the same thing, you know. So it's definitely like a gender base and like an age base. And I think there's just so many more people like that fit that criteria.
Yeah, I think the what should be taken out of it, and I think what's probably the scariest aspect of it is that there's a lot of people who their first introduction to gaming will be
FarmVille,
Candy Crush Saga. They'll be FarmVille. All these flash-based or social network-based games, and they're going to be their first games that they're introduced to are going to be microtransaction-based games. So they're going to grow up knowing microtransactions. That's going to be what they're used to. So I mean, I think that they're going to be much more willing to spend money on games, you know, outside of the initial payment, and that's going to set a real precedent for games to move in that direction. I think if there's anything to be scared out of that, it's that shift.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I mean you look at parents anywhere, and it's like, oh, the kid's being annoying, we'll just give them my iPhone.
Yeah,
and they'll play, you know, Cave Runner or whatever the fuck
Fruit
that game
Ninja.
Is.
Yeah,
all those things where it's just like, you know, they can play it on the go, because it's always there. Like, those games are always available. You know, even if people don't buy specific gaming machines, it's like, I have it on my phone, I have it on my iPad, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, as a developer, it's such a viable option to, you know, a viable route to take when you're developing a game, especially a lot of these games that have very low, like, initial development costs. They just pump something out, and then they make their money off microtransactions. It's the allure. There's a serious allure to that type of marketing or business model, and I think it's something that you know, hopefully doesn't take over gaming as we know it.
I think basically what it comes down to is your grandmother's social security check is the reason I get crushed in Clash of Clans. It's just like your village has been raided by your grandma. Oh, fuck. No! And Chinese farmers.
Yeah.
Grandma!
Yeah, obviously. The Chinese farmers have always been there.
So many Chinese, like, characters crush.
They're pissed that your grandma's playing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure.
It's, the thing is, you don't realize your grandmother is a Chinese farmer. Mind blown.
What?
She's farming and, like, then selling it all off to, like, Chinese people for, like, 10 cents each.
She's got nothing better to do.
It's for your college fund.
Oh my god, if that is legitimately something that I could make money doing when I'm old, I will do it.
You should go around to like senior citizen homes and convince them to like mine like bitcoins for you and stuff.
Where do I get a bitcoin?
You'd be like,
do I get paid for any of this?
You just give them like 10%. They get like one penny every like week or something. You like, you just make so much money, you become like a millionaire, like entrepreneur, and you're also like a huge D-bag and everyone hates you because you're just like abusing like senior citizens.
And then when they start
giving them a purpose in life.
And then when they start to rise up, then you just go the route of Soylent Green.
It's just wrong.
Do you want to wind up like Buzz?
I don't know that reference, but...
It's a...
No, I just chose that
Okay. It's a Charles reference.
Charles is making up a whole new, like, movie scene in his head.
It's a reference, like, a right now reference.
Well, the next time we talk about this, you can bring that up and we'll know what you're talking about.
Refs.
Buzz isn't crying no more.
Refception. Alright, let's do these top fives.
Alright. This week, top five worst advertising campaigns or commercials in the gaming industry. Steve, start.
Okay, so I think we talked about this one, right?
We did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
So I guess, like, was this with the Collector's Edition? I think you got this?
It was.
Okay, so with the Collector's Edition of Dead Island, you got this, like, decapitated, armless torso of a woman with, like, a bra in a bikini, basically. So, yeah, that was pretty shocking.
It makes me wonder if... It makes me wonder if maybe it was just like too hard for them to model like a real looking face, so they're just like, you know what, let's just have it like cut off.
I mean,
they did it because it would cost them less.
I can't even imagine like in what scenario that anyone other than someone who really knows what Dead Island is would think that that's okay. Like they come into your room and they're like, "What's that?" And you're like, "Oh, that's oh yeah, I got that from buying this collector's edition of Dead Island. Do you like it?" They're like, "What the?" I'm like, "It's about zombies." They're like, "Dude, what the hell?" Like I don't think anyone would be like cool with that.
Yeah,
it's like slowly back out of your
room.
Just
throw in the road. Just throw in the.
It's not an acceptable desk
road.
Yeah, absolutely.
While you're driving down the highway and watches the traffic stops.
I mean, it would be cool for Halloween. You could just pull it out and be like, "Check it out! It's a decapitated body with a bikini."
Put on your porch.
Question mark.
Oh, yeah, I feel like if you put that like on your desk at work, it would just break like so many rules. I don't know. It'd just be like, all right, this is just crossing.
H&R just comes over like, "I need to have a talk with you."
Yeah.
You need to cover your torso.
The midriff is showing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tim, do you want to take number 2?
Oh yeah, this one's great. So apparently there was an ad in. It looks, I think it's French, so I don't know if it was in any American things, but it was an ad by Sony for the Vita, and it's basically remarking on the fact that the Vita has the touchpad on the back, so you have like the front screen with the buttons, and then also a back, you know, a second way to interact on the back side of the Vita, and so the ad they have. Is basically a woman. You can't tell which direction she's facing, except by the bending of her arms, because she has boobs on the front and boobs on her back. Either that or just like some weird back flap that's molded perfectly.
She has gigantic shoulder blades.
So, yeah,
it's like a creature from Silent Hill.
I think the actual slogan or whatever for that was like, it was like two areas to touch, or like twice the areas to touch, twice the sensation or something.
Yeah. Terrible.
Now, only in France would that happen.
It's disturbing.
I feel like that'd be like such an uncomfortable way to live if you had boobs on your back.
You wouldn't be able to sleep.
You wouldn't be able to
You'd
balance.
Have to sleep on your side, like, all the time.
I feel like you would finally be balanced, though. Oh, yeah, sitting down would be a problem.
Yeah, I guess
sitting down would be a problem, but... You know what they always say, though? The only thing better than two boobs is four boobs, so...
I mean...
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like a... I feel like I'm watching Total Recall. Four.
Did she have three?
Yeah.
Three.
The best part is it was in the new Total Recall, too, right? So this is like...
Yeah, they couldn't make that out. You know everyone watching that was, like, waiting for the three boobs.
Oh, God. And the worst part is, like, that scene in Total Recall, the new Total Recall, like, got me believing that the new Total Recall was going to do that, like, constantly. So I was just, like, waiting for things that were in the old one. like every time he, like kicked his wife or, like, you thought his wife died in the new Total Recall, I was just like, consider it a divorce. Like, I said it probably like 20 times. I probably said it like 30, and he never said it, and I was like, oh god, this sucks, man. So good.
Welcome to the pod, Victor.
Give these people air! Should have just said that in the movie. No reason, just say it.
Yeah.
What a movie.
They kill you all.
I'll kill you all.
Number three. Who wants to take that one?
I don't know this one, so what is this?
I don't know what that is. I didn't put that one down.
Well, this was so Mountain Dew basically did a thing where if you bought you know, Mountain Dew, you can get bonus XP in Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do know this one. I lied. I was looking at the wrong one. Yeah. And actually, I was the one that put this one down, so...
I was going to say, I thought you put this one down.
What Tim just said, like, you used to get, like, bonus XP, and this is something I've ranted about before on the podcast, is that, like... That it this was like there was like a little fine print that was like this was only for like PlayStation and like Xbox, and me and my friends went out and bought like a whole bunch of Mountain Dew because we wanted our bonus XP on PC, and we ended up not being able to get any of it. So
that's shitty.
But it worked.
It's true.
I bought it all.
Yep.
And the same thing for like WoW and stuff, where the, like Mountain Dew has all these.
Yeah. The one for WoW was really weird because you got like a little pet. So I used the code because I wanted the pet. But then if you keep drinking Mountain Dew, you get more codes. And then he has like little Mountain Dew tanks on his back, and it like fills up the tanks. And then you like battle them or something. This was like before pet battles. So they had like all these things that you could do with them. I was like, this is way too. I don't want to do this. I don't want to drink Mountain Dew just so I can, fill up my pet's bottles.
Fill up your pet super soaker in the back.
Yeah, like, and the worst part is you know that there are people who are like, I need to do this, I need to get everything in this game. Take advantage of
it. I mean, it's the best way to get people, especially in WoW. There's no such thing as, like, half-assing it in WoW. Yeah. You either don't do it or you go all the way.
Yeah, right. You're chugging Mountain Dew just so you can
You're just going to like the store, buying a 12-pack of Mountain Dew, dumping all the Mountain Dews in the trash can. Just get the code. You're going into stores ripping the codes off.
Using it as a foot bath.
You got your laptop out in Shaw's and you're typing the codes out.
Do you remember when they used to give free sodas? Like you could get it would just on the bottom. It would be typed free soda.
Oh yeah, that's right. On the bottom of the caps.
Yeah, now they only do codes.
Oh, yeah.
You could actually get, like, it would be, like, free hat or something. Yeah, you'd actually have to send the cap in to...
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No. Stingy.
I remember there was a time where there was, like, a good, like, 2 weeks where I drank a Sprite every single day just because I kept getting a free one.
that's right. I remember in school and stuff, you used to get free ones.
Yeah, it was awesome.
At least it didn't say free bottle cap on the bottom, because that would...
It's free.
Free game entry.
those are the worst. They'd be like, you win. Type this code in. It's like, yep. You just won the code. It's like, what's that?
Yeah, you win an additional entry into this.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. This is not helpful. I don't want this.
This is the one I don't know, by the way. So
yeah, no.
The PlayStation game.
I don't know this one either. So
this is the one where they had the PlayStation and the little baby doll, like the doll. It's creepy baby face, and it just sits on the ground, and the PlayStation moves, and its eyes glow up.
What the hell?
What?
A lot of people were freaked out by this commercial. This is one of those ones where it's like the PlayStation 3, and it's hovering and. And also it's colors and stuff, but it's freaky ass commercial because it's like a colorless doll. It's like the doll from Toy Story that's sewed together. It's awful.
Oh yeah,
is it? It's not Sackboy, is it?
Hmm.
It's not Sackboy from Little Big Planet.
No. Okay. Nope. It's just a horrifying doll in this PlayStation 3 commercial, and then the. There's really no point to that at all, so.
Yeah.
I have to find this now.
Yeah, I have to look at that.
We have to make sure Charles didn't just, like, create it in his imagination. That's fine. We can look at it. I believe you. All right.
Number 5.
I don't know this one.
Number 5 is Hitman Absolution. Which is the most recent Hitman.
Yeah,
and their debut trailer or something. I don't remember where it was in the like timeline, but it was basically
early.
It was real early. And the trailer was basically it was like a bunch of like sexy nuns, and you don't have any context of what they do. And Agent 47 is like, it shows them in slow motion, him in slow motion punching the nun in the face and breaking her nose and just like blood splattering everywhere. And it's just like, I mean, after playing the game, the nuns are actually like, they're just dressed as nuns. They're not actually nuns.
So they're actually in the game?
There are nuns in the game, yeah. So it's like, without the context, it's like, maybe you shouldn't show misogynist violence here.
Although, like, I mean, it's pretty smart on their part because they know their target audience probably doesn't really care if you punch a nun in the face.
Yeah,
and probably wants those nuns to be sexy.
They're just like, let's just sell out here because we know nobody else is gonna play this. Like, let's just hope we can get some random guy who'd be like. That looks pretty good, punching nuns in the face and just buy this game.
I feel like if I was a developer, if I worked on that game in any capacity, I would get a lot of satisfaction out of people seeing that commercial and being offended at it. Like, even if I wasn't there, just to know that there are people who are offended, I would be like, yes.
Success.
I mean...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other way. Like, okay, so if he's not punching them in the face, like if it was a real nun, and like he steals costumes all, like he steals people's clothes all the time to like fit in places. So it's like, would the commercial have been better if he just like came up behind the nun and choked her out, like stuffed her in a closet, and took her clothes,
took her out. That's basically what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, like, Saints Row and stuff, right? Where they just, like, all their advertising and all their, like, in the game in general is just completely nonsense.
Totally.
It's just completely wacky. Yeah. But, like, they just know, like, that's just what it is, you know? It's just...
You're, like, beating people to death with giant dildos and...
Do you have a gun that like shoots dubstep out of it? Bah, 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 brrr.
Is that in the most recent one?
I think so. And there's some really sweet guns in that game. I didn't play it, but my brother played it, and he showed me, and it's like there's like a black hole gun where he just sucks people in and stuff. Like the dubstep gun's pretty cool. It's literally just like that. It just goes like wow, 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 shoots like all these different things. It's pretty awesome.
I got that free, or I got it with one of the Humble Bundles, but I haven't played it yet, so I guess I'll have to try it out.
Yeah, I think I got that too. Saints. I think I got Saints 4.
Whatever. I don't know what the newest one was. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I should have got that.
Do you guys have anything open for him? I have one thing. I was gonna bring this up because the last year, remember when we went to PAX and we were talking about to those guys, the people about the handheld like that hooked into your. Controllers that hooked into your cell phone.
Oh yeah, that the Mobi stuff or whatever. Moga, I mean.
Yeah, they're being sold at Walmart now or Target.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like,
yeah, I've seen
the same brand.
They're like
$70.
No, the exact same brand.
Yeah, they have a newer. They have a much better version, which is like that looks kind of like a real controller. That yeah. I think is like around that price. The one I still have is really flipping annoying. I don't know if it's just my phone Bluetooth or something, but like I can never ever get it to work. I'm constantly like sitting there like on a bus ride like trying to get it to work, and then like I just like give up. But when it does work, it's awesome. It's such a cool idea. It's such a like if it just worked, if I could just get it to work, it would be like one of the coolest things I own. Definitely. It's awesome.
I think the Android one's a little clunky because it kind of has a little arm that has to like hold it, and yeah. Then it's like a physical controller one. But the iPhone one is actually really nice because it just kind of like, since the iPhone size is kind of standardized,
sticks in,
it just slips on the end, and it's a lot sleeker than having like a big controller with like an arm that holds the phone, you know. But yeah, I was actually looking at buying one of those because they had them on sale for like. I want to say it was like $60 or $70, which is kind of a lot, but it's like, and it gives you an extra battery too, and so it's like there's more to it than just controls.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it essentially turns your like iPhone or like Android into like a Vita style, like which is pretty.
Yeah,
which is pretty
yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah. That's really awesome. On the same, well, speaking of cell phones and things, did you guys see that new cell phone that's being released this year? It's got displays on both sides of the phone.
The hell? No.
It's the one with the e-ink display on the back.
Yeah, it's got
it's like a Russian
phone. Yeah, it's crazy. It's got the regular touch screen on the front, and then it's got an e-ink display on the back side, which if you turn off your regular touch screen, the e-ink display is touch and everything, and it'll work with like apps and news and whatnot, but the phone will last for 50 hours on one battery.
Holy crap.
Using only the e-ink stuff. That's
e-ink gives no battery life. The only time you use this battery life is to set it once. So whatever. So it's like you know, leaving the e-ink screen on uses no battery life. It only uses battery life when you change what's on the screen. So you can change what's on the screen and leave it on there forever, and it'll never drain.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. So is it like Game Boy, basically, sort of that? Is that what you mean by e-ink?
It's well, you know, like the Kindles and stuff.
Kindle, yeah, okay, exactly.
Yeah, because they, I guess you can receive texts. You can see like Facebook stuff, like come up messages and whatnot. It's an interesting idea.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, Motorola kind of tried to do this. They had a thing on one of their phones where they could selectively turn on pixels, so it would only turn on like on certain pixels to show things on their screen. So it was kind of like the same idea, but not quite as power efficient. So to have a full e-ink screen is about, it doesn't get more power efficient than that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it seems cool. It seems, I don't know if it'll catch on, but it seems like
cool. Yeah.
It's being released overseas soon, but then I think in the States later this year, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
You guys have anything else? Anything interesting? Anything good? What's good?
Probably. I got the Humble Bundle this week. It's pretty awesome. If you like indie games, you should get it. They just added some new games to it. And this kind of leads into what I've been playing, but I'll just say what's on it. And this is basically what I've been doing the last, like, 3 or 4 days. But it has a lot of good, like, side-scroller, like, retro-style games, 2D side-scroller type games, like Guacamelee, Dust, nice. And Elysian Tale, Swapper. They just added Fez, has Monaco, some other games that I've never played, like Beat Buddy, Starseed Pilgrim, Antichamber, and this other game, Giannis Sisters, I don't know. So, but basically, for me, I've just been playing Dust and Elysian Tale, which is kind of like an adventure RPG side-scroller. It's 2D. It's got like kind of that Japanese art. It's really pretty, even though it's like cartoony. And Guacamelee is awesome. I mean, I know Nick's played that.
So much fun.
Yeah, so that's like got a lot of aspects of like really retro game. If you miss that like feeling of like, if you miss that nostalgic retro feeling of a game, it seems impossible. There's a couple points in that game where
it's a challenge.
There's a couple points in the game where I'm just like, this doesn't seem like I can physically do this. And
have you tried climbing the tree? Like,
yes, I just did that, and it was extremely hard.
Extremely. You have to do it perfect, otherwise you go all the way back down to the bottom.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, basically, there's a couple points in the game that are really difficult, but that game's cool. It has a very like indie style like joke. It has like a self mockery to it, which is really good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got this like Mexican aspect, and it's very like joking. It makes fun of itself constantly. So,
yeah, Drinkbox does a good job with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I think if you're interested in those type of games and you have a controller too, I think that's another thing that's nice. If you have a controller, I use my PlayStation 3 controller. It's awesome, and it's only like $450, I think, minimum, and you get all those games. So
awesome!
Check it out. That's what I've been playing.
Yeah,
60.
Tim, what have you been playing?
I haven't been playing much. I played some Starbound. I've been on and off of that game, and I've they just recently started talking about kind of their plans for progression in the game, so it piqued my interest again, and I started playing. But they add a lot of stuff. They added some stuff for Valentine's Day too, so there was a little bit of new content. And then other than that, I bought a new computer case and had to take my computer apart and put it back together, and found probably like 5 pounds worth of dust and hair, which was horrible. But after doing that, my computer's like 5 times louder now, and also the temperatures are like at least 5 degrees less now without all that stuff in there. So this should be your reminder: if you have a PC, go clean that shit out because it's gross.
Mm-hmm. You think they would just like make fans have a reverse function so you can just like blow all the dust out?
Plus, I mean, it's a good excuse to buy canned air and like freeze small creatures. Mm-hmm.
Or people's knees. Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know if you've ever seen the what's it called? Intervention, where there's a girl. If you look it up, it's called Allison is her name. She gets high off like canned air.
Oh,
it's hilarious. It's in Rhode Island too, so it hits a little close to home. But it's one of the funniest episodes. Just to watch it.
Oh god.
Brutal.
Charles, what are you playing?
Right now I've been playing Kingdoms of Amalur, and I've decided that the game is like a bastardization of Fable.
Wait, this is Reckoning, right?
Reckoning.
Okay. Kurt Schilling's like failed grandchild of like...
I mean, it's not a bad game, but the graphics look...
$200 million love child that failed miserably and set State of Rhode Island perpetual debt.
So far it hasn't been a bad game, but the graphics honestly look like the first Fable. I mean, it's not that sophisticated. I mean, otherwise the mechanics, it feels like some weird love child of Fable, The Witcher, and Dragon's Age.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, I was reading the reviews because I saw you playing it on Steam, and I started laughing because that's what everything I've Tinder said. And a lot of the reviews on Steam were pretty good. I think like a lot of people were like, my expectations were low, but it was actually like not that bad, so to speak. Like, <that's>
kinda... The biggest thing that's been bugging me is that the way that it's set up is that you can't adjust where the camera is in relation to your character. So you start out and the camera's like up your ass. Literally, it's like you start out and the camera's like looking like at your back, like it's 2 feet away. So you have to get an external mod to modify the camera distance.
Oh god!
What?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Sounds awesome.
Because otherwise, you really can't see anything. It's like right on top of you. You can't see when an enemy's coming up from either side. Really, you've only. It's like tunnel vision.
I mean, that's the part of the difficulty of the game. I'm being sarcastic. Dang, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, once you change it, it's fine.
You know a game's good when there's an external mod to change the fundamental part of the game. Like, it's really fun until you get this mod that, like, gives you gold, and then you can buy things. Like, oh, okay, sounds good.
Well,
yeah, that's
fun. You'd think that if they hadn't gone out of business, they would have patched it, so they would have fixed this, but...
There's, like, two DLCs for it, aren't there?
Yeah, but DLCs are different than patches.
Sure.
Glitches.
Yeah, because they make the DLCs when the game comes out anyway, so it doesn't matter if they go out of business.
Yeah.
Shocking.
But it reminds me of Fable just because of the graphics and because of some of the combat. It reminds me of The Witcher because of just kind of the storyline and how it's got these, like, two... It's got races that seem kind of in conflict with each other, and it reminds me of Dragon's Age just because of like the map and overall style of it. It just seems like they took a lot of pieces from other games to get a good concept together.
Looks a lot like Fable from the images I've seen.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nick, what are you playing?
I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4 this week. I'm on the last sequence, I think. It just
platinum?
Not yet. I'm going to.
Damn.
It's gonna be probably an 80-hour endeavor, but
an additional 80 hours or total?
Total. I've completely upgraded my the Jackdaw, which is your ship, and I'm like owning people now. once you upgrade all your weapons and you can destroy ships like Man of Wars that are like super high levels, and then it's kind of like meh. All right. Then I just everything just becomes a lot easier after you do that. But
you just go ramming speed and crush them.
Yes, you can. You can ram ships, and that will. And you can upgrade your ram strength. And
really.
There's like there's like 12 different things you can upgrade, and they're all, it's like all weapons and like ram strength, hull armor, like all, it's
your precision, it's, your precision gun,
yeah it's pretty crazy, the swivel gun. Yeah. So I'm close to beating, I've almost beaten the single player campaign. I've done, I think, almost every single player trophy at this point, except for beating the game. And there's four legendary ships in the game at each corner of the map, and you have to destroy every single one, which I haven't even attempted one of them yet, so we'll see how that goes. But apart from that, I've played a couple hours of the multiplayer. Definitely a lot more fun if you're playing with people that you know, because I started playing a little bit by myself, and I was like, wow, this is awful. I do not enjoy this at all. But then I started playing with Corey Jackson, who's the host over at the Band of Brothers podcast, and he's also one of our listeners, and Shifty25 on Twitter. And all of us were on one, like, squad or whatever. We played a bunch of multiplayer on Saturday, so
I think we're all going for the platinum on that. But yeah, this next week is going to bring a lot of Tomb Raider Definitive Edition and Thief. So I'll have some good things to talk about next week.
Cool.
But that's it. I didn't ask for any Twitter questions this week or any questions at all. I was like, oh shit, I got to the podcast and realized that I didn't do that. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, you blew
failure.
It.
Failure.
Listener questions blank.
You need to take a break from all your sassy asses.
Charles can't take it anymore.
I'm gonna underground start a mutiny against you, a coup, a revolution from the masses that aren't getting their voices heard. I'm gonna have like a alias on Twitter.
I already got called out for because I posted on Twitter. I meant to tag someone in the post that I did. I tweeted a picture of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition because I was thinking I was getting it like several days later, and I was like, it came earlier than I expected, and everyone gave me a lot of shit for that, and they're like, I didn't look at the picture. And so yeah,
you should have played it off like you were making a joke.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I made it funny. Anyways, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So, thank you, listeners. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Tim. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 26. 6 months in, officially. And it's late, so we're going to say goodnight. And
so late.
I'm going to go to bed.
Sounds good. Later.
Teats. Teats, tots, totes.
Good night, folks.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers. Steve.
Suck so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
Like, game over for Sony. I think. What?
We lost him.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's alright.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Fucking
just say everything. Just say everything you just said again. Yeah.